Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
So we are concluding Secrets of Success for Women, and we've talked about a number of them. Today it's stop to relieve stress. Relieve the physical symptoms of stress with little breaks and stress busters. Take a walk, breathe slowly and deeply, then let the air out slowly. Take a short nap, laugh, read jokes, or watch a comedy show. Slowly sip a cup of tea, chat with a friend who lifts you up, read a short story or a devotion, listen to this show, listen to soft music, soak in a hot tub, exercise. It produces hormones that make you feel better. Sit outside and look at God's creation, eat a healthy snack, read how someone with a similar problem found a solution, and then massage your face and the back of your neck, or get someone to do it. Sometimes I have a couple of students that will just come up and massage my neck for me, and I just appreciate that so much. It's amazing how a little bit of human touch can help relieve stress. Well, we have a number of prayer requests. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we hold up to this show. We hold up to this ministry, MRG Media Ministry, producing this daily show. And we ask that our words be your words. We hold up to you a family who has suffered so much financially, and just help the father to find work. We pray for a conference that is thinking of moving from one location to the next. Your will be done. And Lord, I pray for our homeschooling families that they will just cherish every moment that they get to spend with their kids, that they will cherish the learning time, and that the students will understand how all knowledge comes from you. I thank you for hearing our prayers and for being with us today. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. Well, today, since I'm still talking about math, I wanted to tell you what I often do that is a fun way to have the kids moving. So I put numbers up around the room, and you could have it all on one wall. You could just have numbers plastered on a wall. And then when they do a math problem, once they figure it out, they have to run and touch the answer on those numbers. Now, if you're fancy, you could laminate them so they last for a long time. Or if you just want to do something quick, you just take some paper and write the numbers on it and tape them up and let the kids run up and touch the answer. You can do it also with teaching your children the phone numbers. Young children need to know their phone numbers, so you could tape it up there. I put on my Pinterest site a fancy picture there with the numbers on the back of paper plates, so it looked like buttons, and it's arranged like a phone, so a young child, your toddler, could have quite a bit of fun going in touching the pretend phone, and then you can have them do the numbers on an actual phone so that they would always know where their numbers are. If you're like me, touching a number, I know so many people's phone numbers by touching them. But if someone asks me to say them, I don't know. I have to go back to my phone and touch them to know them. And of course, in this day and age, I can just start their name and the phone number comes up. Really does change the way a brain works, doesn't it? So that's my arts and crafts. Have fun learning. Make learning really a fun hands-on experience. Curriculum Corner, and we're going to talk today how to have a good curriculum program going for your children without purchasing any textbooks. And the idea is that you probably already have a lot of resources around. If not, you can go to a Salvation Army, Goodwill, and purchase very reasonably old math textbooks. That being said, you don't even need those, because when we do math, it's a skill. It's a skill topic, and we want our students to learn these skills. And I often think if we just focused on these skills and threw out the textbooks, our kids would be further ahead. So now I'm going to talk about multiplication and division. And we've had some fun making some games, putting things up where the students can go and answer, working with flashcards. And we've talked about place value, addition, and subtraction. Well, in multiplication, we're going to talk about place value again. So the place value comes up again and again. Multiplication is essentially adding the same number over and over and over again. Multiplication is one of those tools. It's a hack. And when I tell that to my students, this is a hack. We can learn to multiply things, and it will save us from adding and adding and adding and adding. They like the word hack. It sometimes helps that resistance to learning not to happen, because I'm showing them shortcuts. And one of the things that I love to do is have some kind of multiplication incentive. Like, I'll make rockets 2 times 1, 2 times 2, 2 times 3, 2 times 4. Once they have learned their 2 times, then they get to put that rocket up on the wall. And pretty soon rockets are shooting all over the place as students learn their 2 tables and their 3 tables and their 4 tables. Now, if you can connect the 2s to skip counting, that's even better, because then they can just learn their 2s by 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. Those are all the answers to the 2 tables. Skip counting by 3 seems to be a little harder. Wouldn't that be a wonderful tool if they could learn to skip count by 3? 3, 6, 9, 12, so on and so forth. And then skip counting by 4. So you can set up skip counting drills. Their warm-ups are always, you know, you're skip counting by 2 all week. And now the next thing is you're skip counting by 3 all week. And these skip counting rote memorization really helps them learn their times tables, their multiplication tables. I would also have them make a multiplication chart. They need to see the patterns. Math is all about patterns. So multiplication and multiplication drills and multiplying single numbers and then multiplying 2 numbers. Take time and help your children master it. Multiplication is a great hack that if a student knows their multiplication tables, everything else begins to be easier. Division and long division are so hard if you don't know your multiplication. So that can be part of your path. When I look at the path that I'd like my students to take in math, it is place value, addition, subtraction, place value, multiplication, division, place value, long division. And then when we come to long division, we'll talk about decimals. So that concludes my curriculum corner for today. Questions parents ask. Well, I have a person who's asking, they had to start homeschooling and now they want to continue it, and they would like input as to what is the thing that a first-time homeschooling mom should know, or something that maybe you wished you had known when you first started homeschooling that you know now. And I'm just going to say 2 things. Relationship is more important than learning. I mean, I can't say that enough. Relationship is more important than learning. And just as I said before, you should easily be, you know, never take more than 4 hours a day, and take vacations. So if you want to, you know, look at a school calendar, you can go on the public school calendar, see their calendar. You can follow that. or you can look at your husband's schedule or your own schedule as to when you want to take family vacations, and make sure you take family vacations that, and you know, that just are fun, not necessarily educational. And the third thing is routine is important. Making a schedule and then following that routine to the best of your ability, very important. So those three things: relationship, routine, and vacation. Just remember that. And that's my advice, for whatever it's worth.
Hi, I'm Marty Michaels, and welcome to Heartbeat. In the 12th chapter of John, a prostitute broke a bottle of perfume over Jesus' feet to wash them. Some of his disciples complained that it could have been sold and the money used for a greater purpose. But Jesus rebuked them, saying that as long as we remember him, we should remember her. A few days later, Jesus was crucified on the cross. And as the soldiers pierced his side, water and blood spilled out. Like the scent of that perfume that filled an entire house, Jesus' precious blood fills the hearts and souls of all those who accept him. Will you accept him today? Heartbeat is brought to you by the Salvation Army.
Welcome to Homeschool Companion. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and today we're going to talk with Dr. Tooley about principles of family leadership. What does it look like, and what kind of model does your family espouse when it comes to leading it? And of course, we put a lot of emphasis on the husband, the house band of the family, but we're also exploring the idea that it's not so much an arbitrary thing, but more of a cooperative team venture between the wife and the husband. That being said, we need to unpack what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 5:22-23, where he's talking about a more hierarchical model of leadership.
Yeah, that's interesting, because Paul seems to be what people now would like to use the term misogynist. You know, he's apparently putting women down. But if you take a look at that carefully, if you consider that carefully, what Paul has said, and he said it in many places, he said, wives, submit yourself to your husbands, and husbands, love your wives. It's basically the way it is. And if you look at it in that way, you can see that the reality is, if women respect their husbands and husbands love their wives, then life is really pretty good. Once a woman loses respect for her husband, it's over. And if a husband cannot love his wife, he is doing her serious damage. So that's a concept that Paul is bringing out. But think about it in another way. What if leadership were to be redefined, so to speak, so that it's not an absolute submission to the husband that's what's going on here, but rather talking about individual and corporate accountability. In other words, instead of looking at it as, okay, I must submit to the rule of the husband, why not look at it in terms of maybe the husband also submits to the rule of the wife, particularly if the wife is the expert in the area. So if you take a look at teams, for example, and you have a team that's functioning, leadership emerges out of that team in the areas of expertise. You have a team coordinator, somebody who coordinates the team, but they don't have authority over the team. And also, the most interesting part of the team is that the person who may have the power in the team to actually be either positional or coercive gives up that power to empower the team to function. So instead of this husband simply taking all of the authority and all of the responsibility on himself, He's giving up that role in order to facilitate the growth of the members of the team to becoming something better than they are. And by the same token, the wife, instead of trying to take that control, she recognizes what the husband is doing, and she too then becomes accountable to him and accountable to the children, and the husband is now accountable to the wife and accountable to the children. And the children are accountable to the father and to the mother. So if you look at it in terms of a team, that gives an opportunity for the children to grow into something that they would have a more difficult time growing into, because they have to have a sense of responsibility to the family.
Yeah, they essentially take ownership not only of their own actions, but understanding how those actions impact the whole family.
Yeah, and so when you take a look at it in terms of leadership theory, the one theory that really stands out and has shown itself to be very, very compatible with the team-based leadership model is servant leadership. And servant leadership, we can see examples of that in Jesus' ministry here on earth. The whole concept behind servant leadership is that the leader is actually there to serve their followers.
So would you say that, you know, we can look at all of the different theories of leadership, and there's principles that we can apply to the family that really are beautiful? And the servant leadership, I think, of course, is over and over again shown us through the scriptures, that Jesus, you know, washed their feet, and they were appalled. Why would someone who is soon going to be the king, you know, wash their feet? They still were not grasping what his purpose was on this earth.
Yeah.
And I think when children see their father doing subservient things, or what might be subservient, you know, there's nothing as endearing as seeing that big macho man there washing the dishes or tenderly taking care of a sick child. That those types of events in a family bond that family more than anything else can do, and it shows the love of Jesus.
Yeah, and then if you take this to the next, you take it to the next level, the same thing holds true when you start thinking about it in terms of that child's accountability to their parents. Oftentimes we view that in terms of, you know, if you don't do what I ask, you're going to get into trouble. What if the child has a certain level of expertise? Now, one of the first things they're going to come up with is a level of expertise that most of us older generations won't have, is how to use a cell phone, how to do the computer, all of those different things. What if the child was given the chance to try something that normally the parent would say, that's my responsibility to do? What if the child were allowed to grow into their accountability place in the family? Now, when you start off, obviously, it's not going to be that much that a child can do, but there are things that children can do. And so you wrap in many different things here, like the Pygmalion effect comes in. If you expect it, you usually get it. So if the leadership model that is taken here, and we're talking overarching because things happen, if emergencies happen, somebody's got to take control and get it done. You know, so there are different reasons why maybe some things would change, but the overarching leadership concept that would come in here is that you would allow each member of the family to function as a team within their capacity to do so. And the husband begins to abdicate some of the responsibility that oftentimes is placed on him and the authority that goes with that, to the point where if they do that, oftentimes when the husband always has a sense of responsibility and authority that goes with that responsibility, sometimes they can give that responsibility to a child or to the mother, who may be more equipped to handle that responsibility instead of taking it on himself. And so the husband does the things that they are capable of doing, but allows the other members of the family to grow and actually have authority over the areas that they can have responsibility in. And as long as that concept of individual accountability and accountability to the team is nurtured and grows, then at some point you'll see young people now developing this concept of my parents trust me. And that would be one of the hope. It's, you know, never a guarantee, but there's a greater likelihood that if you are able to perform different things and your parents trust you, they're going to trust you in other things. That's a biblical principle, you know. You be faithful in small things and I'll make you ruler over many things. So that same concept holds true with children. If you're able to give those children responsibility at a young age and you trust them to do that and they do that, and if they don't do that, they learn accountability, because it's not so much the punishment that hurts as it is the disappointment and failing to do something for someone. So this whole idea of being able to develop this individual accountability and this team accountability allows young people to change, you know, from one level to the next and grow in themselves and their own self-confidence and in their ability to do things and in their ability to make intelligent decisions later.
Yes. And, you know, we're almost to the end of the show. It's gone by so fast, but I can't help but think when a child sees their father doing the dishes or mowing the lawn or doing some, you know, vacuuming, those kinds of things, kids really are anxious to participate in, and often they're, you know, put aside and not allowed because they won't do as good a job as the adult or they won't do it as fast. But these are great opportunities that I hope parents will take the time to allow their children to do the best job that they can and affirm them in the job that they did, because that's where it is at. It starts at that young, tender age when the kids are eager to do those things.
Yeah, and then as they grow older, you know, there comes a point then when the child wants to be out and go out and visit with their friends and things. How do you develop the kind of trust as a parent that you allow that child to go do that, knowing that the child's going to make the right decision?
And so if you started at a very young age, you know.
Yeah, when you start at a young age with the children and you help those children learn accountability early and learn what it means to be responsible early and learn what it means to be part of the family team, so they feel like they're not just some lower level member of the team, but rather a contributing member of the team. And, you know, a good part of being able to do that, for example, another way of being able to do that would be worships, family worships. You have family worships. Make the children responsible for presenting some of those family worships as they get older.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
don't take that all on yourself. Let them have some of that responsibility. And then when they come in with something good, make sure you let them know they did really good and affirm them in what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And let them know that they are a part of the team. They're a part of that family team. And that's going to help them grow into responsible adults more than anything I know of. It's just keeping them engaged in the family, not as some subordinate, but rather as at some level, a human being that is equal to all other human beings in the eyes of God.
Amen. Well, we have to conclude this show, but thank you, Dr. Tooley, for spending this time with us as we discuss the principles of family leadership. We'll have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.